staple to the grave. My Savior gave, and he gave his life at a final price. Now I cherish that tree where I found the victory,
conquering hell and the foes. Praise his name, he arose. That's when Calvary came through once again. When I lost all my courage to win, just when I thought I'd been defeated, the cross was all I needed. That's when Calvary came through once again.
Jesus took on him there, and Calvary covers it all.
Just when I thought I'd been defeated, the cross was all I needed. That's when
Well, amen. Wasn't that great? Boy, I hope you listen to what the ladies sung, because I promise you, if your day hasn't come, your day will soon come to where you get to your wit's end and you think, well, I'll just tie a knot and hold on. If you don't know Jesus is your Savior, you don't understand what they're singing about, because I promise you, in your day of need, Calvary will come through. And it'll come through over and over and over again. God bless you, ladies. Thank you for that choice of song this morning. And again, we want to welcome you to Trinity Baptist Church. Find your Bible, if you would, please, and let's look at Proverbs chapter 5. We're going to look at a number of scriptures this morning. Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs chapter number 5 and verse number 21. Proverbs 5 and verse number 21. Would you stand with me this morning, if you would, please? Proverbs 5, verse 21. The Bible says, "For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings." Did you notice it said the ways of a man or before the eyes of the Lord? Almost sounds like you can't get away from God watching you. Doesn't matter where you go, no matter where you go try to hide, no matter where you run to, kind of sounds like that God watches you all the time. And then it, not only that, it says, "And he pondereth all his goings." Flip over, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 15 and verse number 3. Let me read one other scripture and we'll pray. Proverbs 15 and verse number 3. Lest we think that there's ever a time or a place that we can ever be or go to that God does not see, this settles it right here. Proverbs 15, verse 3, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." Now, with those two verses in mind. I'm going to read some others in just a second. I want to speak to you this morning on this subject. You are being watched. You are being watched. Father, would you bless our time this morning? And we certainly don't want to take anything for granted. You're so kind and good to us. And yet, Lord, today we've experienced that even in death of a saint, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of a saint. With R.B. Reed, just a few moments ago, a couple of hours ago, saw Jesus Christ for the very first time. And Lord, I'm sure that nothing that we can say or do on this earth can meet all the expectations that when we actually see you, everything comes to fruition at that time. And we pray that you'd meet with us now. Brother RB's in heaven now, no longer suffering. He now has perfect knowledge and perfect wisdom, has a perfect body. And now, Lord, he has departed this life, and now we're left here now to carry on the work of God, to carry on the ministry. And we pray now that you'd teach us, guide, and lead now in our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen, and you may be seated. Take your Bible now, if you would, Luke chapter number 22. Now, I've read to you two verses while you're turning there in Proverbs chapter 5 and Proverbs chapter 15. It's very evident. The Bible says that there's not a place you can go, not any place on planet Earth, whether it's the depths of the sea, Psalm 139 says, or the tops of the mountains, doesn't matter. The eyes of the Lord see everything. You and I are constantly being watched. But may I say to you this morning also, look at this if you would, Luke chapter 22 and verse 31. Here's what Jesus said to Simon Peter. He said, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Now, turn, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 5 in verse number 8. 1 Peter chapter 5 in verse number 8. 1 Peter 5 and verse number 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, I've read to you these passages of Scripture this morning. For the thought of the morning sermon is this. You are being watched. You ever been to a restaurant or maybe to a ball game or something, and you're sitting there minding your own business, and you notice out of the corner of your eye that someone is staring at you. And you're wondering, what's the problem with these people? You're trying to eat and enjoy your meal, or you're there trying to enjoy your popcorn or whatever it is at the game, and somebody's constantly staring at you. Does that bother you? Does that make you feel uncomfortable that somebody is looking at you? How do you feel about that? Did you respond to them, or did you just ignore them? I don't know about you. I don't like people watching me eat. It makes me feel uncomfortable. Because sometimes it may want to drip down my chin. I may want to wipe it with my sleeve. I don't like people watching me. Now, listen, can I say this to you? Everybody's gone through that, right? And everybody's felt uncomfortable because somebody was staring at them. Somebody was watching them. And we felt uncomfortable. Maybe some of you said, hey, bud, what's your problem? If you had enough gall, maybe you did say that, or maybe you just ignored them. Maybe you ask yourself some questions sometimes like this. Who is it that's watching me? Why are they watching me? Who do they think they are looking over here staring at me? Or maybe you've asked yourself this question. Why are they watching me? You know how we do. We've noticed somebody's watching us and we think. Right? Or we're like. There's got to be a reason, right? Why are they watching me? Why are you staring at me? And we get self-conscious, see, about that type of thing. We get uncomfortable. Then we may ask ourselves this question. You just noticed them. I wonder how long they've been watching me. What have I done to cause them to watch me? Or maybe you've asked yourself this question. What do they know about me? There's a reason they're watching me. Now listen, there's two types of people in this auditorium. Number one, There's a group in this auditorium that know they're being watched. Then there's another group in this auditorium that has no clue that you're being watched. You just heard it from the first time from the Bible that you're being watched. You thought, man, I have been all this time, all of my life, I've been watched. Yes. You see, those who know that they're being watched are usually careful about what they do. That's the crowd I call the cautious crowd. They know somebody's watching them, and you know what? They're going to be careful about what they say. Number two, they're going to be careful about where they go. They're also going to be very careful about what they do, and then they're going to be very careful about who they associate with. You know why? Because somebody's watching them. And somebody's got an eye on them, and they know that somebody's watching them. They're very cautious, see, about these types of things. But then there's the other group here today, and that's the group that has no idea they're being watched. This is the crowd I call the careless crowd. You got the cautious crowd. They know they're being watched. Then you have the careless crowd. That's the crowd that doesn't realize they're being watched. And you know what? They don't guard their tongue. Doesn't matter what they say. They're careless with their tongue. They're careless with their testimony. They're careless about their relationships. I'm just here to tell you, you're being watched. But may I say this morning, according to Proverbs chapter 5, you're being watched by the Lord. According to Luke chapter 22 and 1 Peter chapter 5, you're also being watched by someone else. You're being watched by the devil. God's watching you. Satan is watching you. Oh, can I say also, you're also being watched by a third group, and that's people are watching you. You see, you're being watched this morning. Here you may say, well, I don't understand, preacher. Why don't they stop watching me? What do I have? What have I done? Why are they watching me? I'm glad you asked those questions, because I want to talk to you for just a few minutes that we have about that area. You are being watched. May I say, first of all, why is God watching you? Why is God watching you? May I ask you to take your Bible and find Psalm 115, please? Psalm chapter number 115. Psalm 115 and verse number 12. The Bible says, the Lord hath been mindful of us. Did you see that? The Lord hath been mindful of us. That means it doesn't matter what I do or where I go, He's aware of it. You know why? Because He's watching me. He's watching every move I make. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. Did you notice He's mindful of me? And the Scripture says, He will bless us. So you ask yourself this question, why is God watching me? I'll tell you why He's watching. He's looking for opportunities to bless your life. He's in the blessing business. He's looking for opportunities to bless you in great ways. Anybody here against blessings? I didn't think so. Anybody here for blessings? Yeah, I'm for blessings, aren't you? And you know something? I have to understand God's watching me, and He's looking for opportunities to bless me. You know what? I need to make sure to take advantage of those opportunities. I need to give Him a reason to bless me. Now listen, you know what God blessed me with today? God blessed me with life. I woke up this morning, I went, glory to God. I'm alive. I woke up. That's a blessing. Now, I don't know if living is not a blessing to you, but it is to me. Breathing just seems to be a blessing to me. God's looking for opportunities to bless your life. Did you notice there in the Scriptures that He is beholding the good and the evil? He's looking for opportunities when we do good for the things of God and with the things of God, through the things of God. He's looking for opportunities to bless me. Let me tell you what else He's looking for opportunities to do. He's looking for opportunities to teach me. Yeah, God wants to teach me something. And sometimes the teaching process goes like this. It goes through trials and tribulations, or testing, or the Scripture says the trying of your faith worketh patience. You know what He's looking for? Opportunities to teach me. I need to put myself in a place to be taught. I think that may be why you're here today. I think the most of us came to church today, came to Sunday school today, to be taught something from the Bible. You say, well, what if I know everything? Well, then you probably don't need to be here. But I doubt very seriously that everybody in this auditorium knows everything about the Bible. You see, God's looking for opportunities not only to bless me, He's watching me in order to create opportunities to teach me some things. You know, you're not going to get everything from a book. You're not going to get everything from a seminar. You see, some of the greatest lessons in life are taught by personal experience. And sometimes God has to put you through the school of hard knocks to teach you certain things. And then when He teaches me, I'm to take those and apply those to my life so that I can be a better Christian. But you know what He's looking for? Opportunities to teach me. That's what He's looking for. He's looking for opportunities to bless me. That's the reason He's watching me. Now let me ask you this as a Christian. Does that make you uncomfortable? Are you uncomfortable that God, that all-seeing eye, by the way, God has such a seeing eye that He's able, here's what we think, I'm not going to say anything because God can't see what's in my heart. His eye is so powerful that it can penetrate even your flesh and see the thoughts and intents of your heart. You see, He's looking for opportunities to bless us. He's looking for opportunities to teach us. Sometimes it requires testing. Sometimes it requires discipline. Sometimes God has to take us out behind the woodshed. Now, I don't like that. Anybody in here ever been taken out behind the woodshed? Now, at my house growing up, as if there wasn't a woodshed, but it was kind of like that. But you know what? You know what my father and mother in the discipline process, you know what they were trying to do? They weren't trying to hurt me. They were trying to teach me. They were trying to teach me right from wrong. They were trying to teach me what to do and what not to do. And there are consequences for your decisions. And that's a lot one thing today that just kind of got swept under the door. Nobody today has to pay any consequences for their decisions. Nobody's responsible for anything today. We just do it, and it's always somebody else's fault. Always. You know what God's looking for? Opportunities to teach me. May I say to you, number three, He's looking for opportunities to encourage me. Take your Bible, Psalm 103, if you would, please. Do you like to be encouraged by the Lord? Do you know what Brother Sam Reed and their family need this morning? They need encouragement. Now listen, we can do it, but you know what the source of their greatest encouragement will be? Will be the Lord. Look, if you would, in Psalm 103 and verse number 14. Psalm 103 and verse number 14, listen to what it says. For He knoweth our frame. Boy, this is a good verse. And He remembereth, thank God, that we are, what's that last word? Boy, thank God He remembers. Thank God He remembers what I'm made of and how I was created. I was created in this depraved, sinful flesh. And you know what? It don't always want to do right. And because it don't always want to do right, He's looking for opportunities to encourage me. You know why? He created me just like He created you. And He's looking for opportunities to encourage us. Don't ever get the idea that God's looking for opportunities to discourage you and looking for opportunities to discipline you. He's not looking for those opportunities. He's looking for opportunities to bless, to teach, and to encourage. You may need encouragement today. Let me tell you something else. He's not only looking for opportunities to bless, to teach, to encourage. Hey, He's looking for opportunities to prove His love. Hey, He's looking for opportunities to prove His love. You know, my wife and I have been married nearly 30 years, and there over that 30 years, we have done numerous things to prove the sincerity of our love one to another. And that's what God is today. God's looking for an opportunity in someone's life today. Maybe you're here and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know what He's here to do with you today and in you today? He's here looking for that opportunity to prove His love to you. All we have to do is look to the cross the lady sang about just a moment ago. Is that right? All we have to do is look to the cross, and there was the greatest example of love known to humankind is when God Almighty gave His only begotten Son to take your place and my place on that cross, to pay my sin debt and your sin debt. The greatest example of love. You know what? He's looking for opportunities to show His love. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, let me here this morning encourage you to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the greatest example of love ever shown mankind. You see, He knew you was coming today. He's watching you. You're here today, whether you're lost, saved, backslidden, whatever. He's watching you. He knows what's going on in your life. He's looking for opportunities to bless you, to teach you. He's looking for opportunities to encourage you. And He's looking for opportunities to prove His love to you. Now, can I say, God is watching you. His eye is beholding the good and the evil, and it is in every place. You know, we serve a good God. We serve a powerful God. We serve an all-knowing God, a kind God. And listen, He's looking for opportunities in these particular areas. But may I say to you, secondly, why is Satan watching you? I've looked at a few things. I understand now a little bit more, preacher, about why God is watching me, but I just don't understand, what's the devil watching me for? What did I ever do to him? Be born. That's all you did. You see, the thing about it is every time he looks at your little mug, it reminds him of God. And he hates God. He despises God. And he wants to do everything, if he had his way, which he can't, but if he had his way, he would go to heaven right now and try to dethrone God and put himself there. And matter of fact, that was the original, he was the original plan. Of course, that got thwarted, right? I'm just here, you know what, why is Satan watching me? May I say to you, first of all, to gather information about your weaknesses. For those of you who've ever played, you men that's ever played any athletics, maybe you played on a football team, whatever, maybe you got some teenagers here that play junior high or high school football and stuff, they have what they call a playbook. And in that playbook are various plays drawn up in that playbook to try to do one thing and one thing only, score. They got plays drawn up to try to score on that defense. Then on the defensive side, they've got a playbook there. Defense is set up to try to prevent someone from scoring. And may I say to you, most of us this morning, because we're not aware that we're being watched, are filling the playbook up. Hey, he don't have to go and dream up anything. All he has to do is watch you and me. And we give him opportunity after opportunity, play after play after play, to fill that playbook up, and I promise you, it will come back. Because he knows your weaknesses. You know who told him what they were? Listen, he already knew your flesh was weak. But the thing about it is where we go, what we say, people we associate with are all things he's watching. And all he's doing is he's putting together a game plan against you. And what we do, we reveal our heart. The more we talk, the more we reveal what's in our heart. You say, how do you know that? Because the Bible says from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And all he's got to do is watch. All he's got to do is listen. And then that very thing, listen, will come back to haunt you simply because you and I were not aware that we were being watched. Now, for those of you that do know that you're being watched, not only the Lord's watching you, the devil's watching you. So you know what? You need to be careful who you hang around with. You need to be careful about what you say. You need to be careful about where you go. You need to guard your testimony. You see, the reason he's watching, he's gathering information about my weaknesses, about those sins that so easily beset us. And man, I'm telling you, he'll pound those things and pound those things over and over and over and over in your life. You see, Satan is also watching you to gather information about your weaknesses. May I say to you, number two, to separate you from God. Did you notice in Luke chapter 22 that Jesus told Simon, he said, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift, that he may separate you? That's what the sifting process does. It separates. And he's looking this morning and he's watching in the life of every believer here. He's looking this morning in the heart of every person that may not know Christ as their Savior, and he's trying to separate you from God. He's trying to separate you from the truth this morning. He doesn't want you to know the truth. He's trying to separate you from not only the truth, but he's trying to separate you from the church, which is the pillar and ground of the truth. Why is it the church building filled today? Why is it every Baptist church in town filled to capacity today? I'll tell you why. Because so many are not aware they're being watched. And Satan has gotten them in a place in their life now to where the church is irrelevant in their life, and he has separated them from truth, he separated them from the church, and ultimately has separated them from God. Now, wait a minute now. He can't separate me from the love of God, because nothing can do that according to Romans chapter 8. He can't separate me from salvation, but you know what he can do? He can do everything he can to separate you from your relationship with God. He's watching you. He's keeping an eye on you, gathering information constantly to sift you as wheat, to separate you from truth, from the church, and then try to separate you from any godly influence in your life. He wants to separate you from anybody that's trying to mentor you for the Lord Jesus Christ, or that's trying to disciple you for the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to separate you. But he's watching. And you know what? We give him all the tools that he needs to do and take care of the separation process and the sifting process. You see, Satan's watching you. Why? He's gathering information. Hey, he's trying to separate you and sift you, as Jesus said. And then may I say number three, he's trying to destroy your life. You know, when you read 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8, I don't get the idea from that verse that the devil's anything nice. Because when he's compared to a roaring lion that walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, you see, I've been to the zoo too. And I see what those lions do when they throw them something they like. They don't look at it and say, you know what? Boy, that looks so good and delicious. I really hate to eat this. Now, it's kind of like me in front of a 10-ounce or 12-ounce T-bone. Huh? It's like when they sit that thing down in front of me over here at Texas Land and Cattle, I don't say, boy, I'm telling you, they did such a good job charcoaling this. They did such a good job cooking this. Boy, Brother Scott, I just hate to eat this thing. I'm not going to take that steak and just take it and push it away from me. He said, man, it's just too good to eat. Just looks too nice. They got it decorated. Man, they cooked it exactly right. I'm just not going to eat it. It looks too good. No! When they put that in front of me, I'm going to devour it. You know why? Because I want it. And I'm here to tell you this morning, dear friend, you know why Satan is watching you? He wants you. He desires you. And doesn't desire to make friends with you either. He desires to destroy your life. Your marriage, your children, your job, your livelihoods. Why in God's name would we do anything knowing he's watching us to give him anything to use against us in life? But we do. We do. He's here to destroy us. His goal, listen very carefully, his goal is to kill you. Now, if you knew somebody was stalking you and watching you and their intent was to kill you, would you be a little bit uncomfortable about that? Would you do something about that? Well, sure you would. You wouldn't say, boy, I wish that guy would stop pointing that gun at me. Boy, I sure wish that guy would stop stalking me. He looks like he wants to kill me. Matter of fact, I think I heard him say he did. And then I'm going to turn to him and say, would you stop it? Stop watching me and following me and put that gun up. Tired of you pointing that at me. You see, just as foolish as that is, folks, that's how we treat the devil. And yet he wants to kill you. And his ultimate goal is to kill and to take people to hell. That's his goal. You say, man, live, that's pretty harsh. I don't think I want him watching me. Well, you don't have a choice. He's going to watch you. He's going to watch you to the day you die. And He's going to torment you if you let Him torment you. He'll hassle you if you'll let Him hassle you. And He'll give you problems all the days of your life if you'll let Him. You see, He's watching you. Let me say one last thing. Not only is God watching you, and not only is Satan watching you, I want to say to you, number three, that there are people watching you. You say, well, I don't understand, preacher. Why are people watching me? Why are people watching me day after day after day? Well, let me give you some ideas about this. It could be trying to figure out whether your Christianity is real or not. They watch you on your job. Your next door neighbors are watching you. Hey, where y'all going? Oh, we're going to church this morning. All of a sudden, they're going to start watching you. They want to find out if that Christianity thing that you call, or what you call Christianity, they want to find out if that's real. Is this real? Is it life-changing? They're looking at you to see if your Christianity is real, to see if you believe what you preach. Now, folks, you know, we like to throw around the term hypocrisy and hypocrites and thing like that. But you know, all of us, if we're honest with ourselves, are hypocritical. Because most of us, and let me prove it to you, most of us don't practice a third of what the Bible teaches. We practice the part we believe. We practice what we want. We pick and choose. We go through. We figure the Bible's a buffet. We eat and choose what we believe or what we choose, and then we let the rest of it go. You know what? That's hypocrisy. Most of us fall into that category. So let's just admit it. Now, the thing about it is, we admit it. That I have those failures in life, but I can do something about it. I need to guard my testimony. People are watching your Christianity. They're watching to see if you believe what you preach. They're watching to see if you really, really love God. You know, we sing about loving God. Boy, we talk about loving God. We preach about loving God. We'll go to somebody's door and knock on the door and tell them about God's love. But they're watching to see if you really believe that. They're watching to see if you really, honestly love God. You know what I think most of us could do? I think most of us could look at ourselves and come to the place, you know what, I don't love Him like I should. Because Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And we say, okay, Lord, I love you. I'm going to go out and knock a few doors. Okay, great. What about the rest of them? You see, we love Him only in the portion or to an extent that we decide to love Him. You see, people are watching to see if we really love God, and then they're watching to see if you're going to tell them the way of salvation. You see, if they know you're a believer, you know what they expect? They expect you to say something about Jesus Christ. They expect you to tell them about the Lord. They see you, you talk about church, you talk about these, they expect you to tell them something about how to be saved, about the wondrous cross of Christ, how that Jesus died and was buried, and rose again the third day. That's what they expect you to tell them. They expect you to tell them about the shed blood of Christ. Why did Christ shed His blood? He did that for your sins and my sins. You see, people are watching you. And they expect you to tell them about Jesus Christ. Folks, I'm here to tell you this morning, when you walk out that back door, you're being watched. Can I say, while you're sitting in that church pew right now, you're being watched. You're being watched by God, you're being watched by the devil, and you're being watched by people. You say, man, alive, Brother Todd, that makes me uncomfortable. It shouldn't. Hey, if you're right with God, it shouldn't make you uncomfortable at all, should it? If we have a right relationship with the Lord, it shouldn't make me uncomfortable that God's watching me. Hey, it shouldn't be uncomfortable that Satan's watching me, even though that it's not one of my favorite things, people to be watched, but if I know He's watching me, I shouldn't be uncomfortable because I know He's doing it. So I'm going to guard what I'm doing to protect myself from giving Him any more plays in the playbook. And by the way, after 47 years, I've given Him enough. He's got a pretty good thick playbook on me. How big's playbook on you? Here, here, here. How much you giving him? He's watching you. He's looking for weaknesses. And he's looking to store another play in that playbook. By the way, that may not have gotten anything done years ago, but things change in life, don't they? What may not have affected you years ago may be something that affects you now. And he's developing new plays every day against you and I, and then people are watching you. Think about it. Is that important to you? Do you know you're being watched? If you don't, may I say to you this morning, as a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you are being watched by God himself, by Satan, and by others. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed. How many can say this morning, preacher, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, have no question whatsoever, I've been born again, I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, I've been to Calvary and accepted that wonderful salvation. If you're like that this morning, can you give a testimony by slipping your hand way up high? Say, preacher, that's me, I know it, beyond a shadow of a doubt, I've been born again, I know I've been saved.